mean by which you can be saved, but the name of Jesus. Thank you that we can call on the name of Jesus this morning. In your name there's healing and power and deliverance and salvation, Father. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise, Lord. You're worthy of our praises, Jesus. We thank you that we have the privilege this morning of your sons and daughters, Lord, children of the Most High God, who get together in this context, in this place, in this building, in this atmosphere, Lord God, where we've done the best we can to prepare our hearts and our minds to listen to you this morning. Lord, we haven't come to hear a sermon from any preacher. We've come to hear the voice of God Almighty. We come to listen to what you have to say, Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, together corporately as your children, is that we would not be hearers of the word only, but that we would be doers of the word. Father, we don't want to be like those who just hear your word. It's like a person that looks in a mirror, turns away, and immediately forgets what he or she looks like. But we want to be people that mix your word with faith, that you stir it up in us, so that wanneer ons hier uitry vanmiddag, vanoggend, ek gaan nie so lang preek nie, laat ons verander sal wees, laat ons ander mense sal wees, laat ons meer soos Jesus sal wees, sodat ons 'n verskil kan maak in 'n stikkende siek wêreld daar buite, Here. Ons wil nie net kerk toe kom om gebles te word, laat ons ore geprikkel kan word, laat ons net vet word as Christene, vol van die woord, en dan deel ons dit nie met 'n wêreld wat besig is om te vergaan, maar laat ons 'n verskil kan maak in mense se lewens, Here. En Here, ons is geroep om lig te wees in die duisternis, nie lig in die lig nie, maar om lig te wees in die duisternis. Stuur ons dan na die donkerste plek in die wêreld, Here. Die mense waar hulle die diepste seer het, Here. Waar hulle die diepste seer het. Waar daar leemtes is in hulle harte, stuur ons dan heen. As mense wat die goeie nuus dra. Die goeie nuus van Jesus Christus. Wie vir ons sy lewe neergelê het en wie opgestaan het uit die dood. En hy kom weer terug. Hy kom weer terug. Dat ons die wees, Here, wat 'n verskil kan maak in die wêreld. May we really be the salt and the light in the world this morning. In Jesus' precious name. And all the people of the Most High God shout out with a loud resounding voice as we said amen and amen to the praise and glory of his name. We trust that you're hungry for God's word this morning, and you're open and receptive, and know that God's going to speak to you. If you're visiting for the first time, ek vra om verskoning, ek is die pastoor hierso, get over it. Bid vir my, all you need to get a better pastor is to pray for the one you've got, so ek het jou gebede nodig. We're busy with a sermon series called God's House of Prayer, and it's been going on since August. But what's been exciting to me about it is how God has shifted the focus in the sense that it's not just about prayer, 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 but it's about how the prayer of Jesus is van toepassing op ons vandag and applicable to the challenges that we're going through in the here and now. The prayer of Jesus, he prays for the future of the disciples, for the faith of the disciples, for their protection, for the difficulties they had there and the difficulties they're going to face. He prayed for them for all sorts of things, and because of that, we're learning, and I'm learning so much from it, and I hope and I pray that you are as well, church. And I pray that you hear what the Spirit of God says to you this morning. Last week, we spoke about the fact that the completed work of the cross enables us to live in a privileged position where we can be set free from the consequences of sin. Jesus Christ laid down his life. When we repent, we're forgiven and our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. But we also looked at the challenging paradox that we face. Even though we set free from the consequences of sin, on a day-to-day basis, we still live completely surrounded by the presence of sin. And we looked at the difficulties that it brings in our lives as a result of that. And our God has a plan to protect us, save us from the consequences of sin, but also to protect us from the presence of sin. This morning we look at three aspects from the prayer of Jesus in the garden. En dan, miskien is jy so, ek hoop en vertrou nie, maar miskien is jy op 'n plek waar jy dink vir jouself, wanneer gaan hierdie ou ooit weer op iets anders te preek? As soon as God tells me to church, I give you my word that I will. But every time I dig into this prayer of Jesus, some people have called this the high priestly prayer of Jesus. As a high priest, this is his last prayer in his final 12 hours of life. Jesus chooses to pray these things. Ek sê vir julle, ek maak dan 'n voorstel, is dit dan nie vir ons belangrik om aandag te gee aan elke liewe woord wat gebid is? Stem hulle saam met my. So wees net 'n bietjie geduldig met ons, as ek sê ons, die Heilige Drie Eenheid en myself, ons gaan eventueel klaar raak met hierdie preek. But at the end of it, I pray that we apply everything that Jesus taught us in that one prayer in John 17. Is that okay with you this morning? So follow on the overhead, turn in your Bibles on your phone, wherever you are, to the 17th chapter of the book of John. And let's pick up on Jesus' prayer. I'm going to summarize what we're going to go through this morning. And I'm going to do my best to get through it in time. And I know I'm going to, by the grace of God and the help of the sound guys at the back there. The three things that we're going to look at is, why does Jesus pray for our joy to be fulfilled? It's a joyous season and a joyous time that people are going through for various reasons. But why does Jesus pray for our joy to be fulfilled? The second thing we're going to look at is the truth of this fact. Listen to this. A godly lifestyle generates hate from the world. A godly lifestyle generates hate from the world. And the third thing we're going to look at is this thing called sanctification. Why does God need us sanctified for the end times? So we're going to look at what the word means and how it's applicable to us. So just to summarize, these are the things we're going to get through. Why does Jesus pray for our joy to be fulfilled? Secondly, the fact that a godly lifestyle causes hate from the world. And thirdly, why God needs us sanctified for these end times. Are you ready to receive this morning, church? In the 13th verse of John 17, Jesus prays and he says, "But now I come to you." He's speaking to the Father and he says, "These things I speak into the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So church, Jesus makes it crystal clear why his ministry was like it was. He explains exactly why it was so radical. Why he came and messed up the modern day church of the time and turned it upside down. Everything in terms of spirituality that people were used to, Jesus kom en hy rukkie dam onder die eend uit. He just makes maracas wherever he went. He explains here, he says, it helps us understand why God told Jesus to preach like he preached. He says, "I've spoken these things into the world that my joy may be fulfilled in them." Everybody please say joy. And then say fulfilled. Fulfilled. That means it's not just enough having the joy. It needs to be fulfilled. It needs to go its due course. It needs to be given its due diligence. It needs to have its fulfillment. It needs to come to full fruition in our lives. So when it speaks about our joy being fulfilled, it doesn't mean that Jesus came to give us a life so full of joy that our lives become this continuous one. A non-ending one, what was I going to say? One continuous non-stop jewel of joy, a party of non-stop joy, luister mooi, a party of non-stop joy where Jesus is not invited. Dink bietjie daaroor. Soveel mense het hierdie wanindruk, gee net jou hart vir die Here en jou lewe gaan, it's going to be one fat gas on earth. One continuous non-stop jewel. A party where Jesus is not invited. How many of you have been to parties like that? Don't raise your hands now. That's not what Jesus is saying here. I told them these words from you, God, so that my joy may be fulfilled in them. So if we understand this is the purpose of Jesus giving us this joy, why do we need joy? What do we need joy for? Any suggestions? Speak to me. Any suggestions? Come on, speak to me, church. Please, somebody. Before the service starts, jy het almal soveel om te sê. I want to hear that. Okay, maar hoekom, oom George? Daar's te veel bitternis, daar's te veel donkerheid. Hoekom? Okay, I'm going to tell you why, because jy is sukkel bietjie. Here we go. Almost anybody can throw Lord Jesus help us. Almost anybody can host a feel good bless me party. Luister nou mooi. Almost anybody can throw a feel good bless me party. Send out a couple of invites, tell them there's free dop, free chop. Die mense gaan opdaag in hulle hordes. Laat daar lekker doep, 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 doep musiek wees. And anybody, almost anybody can throw a lekker feel good party. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to build the kingdom of God. To build the kingdom of God het ons verskeie goed nodig. Deursettingsvermoë. Hardnekkigheid in die goeie sin van die woord of dikvelligheid. Tenacity, standvastigheid, vasbyt. Grit, true grit, not giving up no matter what. Anybody can throw a feel good bless me party, but to build something that lasts, church, it takes a lifetime of high costs, suffering, pain, dedication, commitment. You see, a grass hut can be erected in minutes, but a building that's safe, that's strong, that can stand the test of time and can weather storms takes a lifetime of dedication and commitment and sacrifice. And for that, we need joy. Why? Nehemiah 8 and verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The context here is that the nation needed rebuilding. It was a massive task. Does it sound like a place called South Africa? I said, does it sound like a place called South Africa? The moral standards in our homes need rebuilding. The integrity of men need rebuilding. This country is full of males, but very few men that are willing to take the spiritual leadership in their home. Our homes need rebuilding. The education standards in our schools need rebuilding. People's identity need rebuilding. The fear of God needs rebuilding, needs to be reestablished in our churches and in this nation. We need to rebuild, to build the kingdom of God. Church, we need the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, if you're at a building site and you see the bigger the building, the more people it can protect and serve, die dieper die fondasie hoef te wees. Die dieper die fondasie hoef te wees. And to dig a deep foundation, it's difficult, jylle. It looks lekker from the surface. Hier gaat ons bou. Lekker, jy kry die span by mekaar. Start digging until jy klip na klip na klip, na rots, na hindernis, na issue, na teleurstelling. Huh? And for that, I don't know about you, but the short little while I've been walking with Jesus, I've needed deursettingsvermoë. I needed the joy of the Lord to give me strength. Because when we lose our joy, ach nee, wat dan, jy sommer misluk, man. En as jy mislik, wat doen jy? Dan doen jy soos wat Nikki gesê het, jy gooi 'n tantrum. That's why Jesus said, I've told them the words that you've given me, God, so that my joy may be fulfilled in them. So that means you don't start off with a joy. Folks, it's got to grow, it's got to develop, it's got to develop. You get excited about something, Tanianiki, en wat doen die vyand? Hy kom steel by jou. Jy kry goeie nuus, jy kry een goeie nuusberiggie. What happens? Drie slegte nuusberiggies kom dan in. Sien julle dit raak? Ons is net van toepassing op my. Is there anybody here that can relate to what I'm saying, church? So then you say, okay, the devil has stolen, but you know what? I've gotten joy from God before. God's going to give me something else. And you get the next bit of joy. And so it goes on and on and on. Until eventually, all thy mislikheid, all that moaning, groaning, bromming, complaining, stops. And you live at a place where, you see, you know what? Joy being fulfilled doesn't mean you're always smiling. You can smoke some stuff that will cause you to always smile, which I don't recommend. But I'm talking about joy. Joy is when all hell is breaking loose around you, but you know who you are in Jesus and you stand because come what may, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's joy. Joy is when you know your name is written in God's book of life. No matter what people tell you, how they accuse you, how they belittle you and run you down. Joy is when you know that it's a mess now, but one day you've read to the end of the book and we win in the end. We win in the end. That's joy. That's joy. That's why his joy needs to be fulfilled. Is that making sense, my boy? Is that making sense? You wake up in the morning, and I'm not knocking you if you read the newspapers and listen to the news or whatever. If you Like Denzel Washington said, if you don't read the news, you're uninformed. If you do read the news, you're ill-informed. Because inevitably people tell me about the bad news that's happening. They tell me because they just tell me. So, you know, you wake up in the morning, you don't have to read it. It's a matter of time. You just wait. Before you know, you're going to get some phone call, some text, some SMS, some issue, and there's bad news. It's going to happen. And to get through that, you need the joy of the Lord. How many of you need the joy of the Lord this morning? Come on, church. How many of you need the joy of the Lord? I need the joy of the Lord to keep on keeping on. Because to build the kingdom of God, I want to build something that lasts. I don't want to throw a feel-good, bless-me party. Anybody can do that, man. I want to build something that lasts. That's why Jesus prayed for His joy to be fulfilled in us. The joy of the Lord is necessary because it needs to be fulfilled. Say that with me one more time, please. Fulfilled. Why? Because having the joy of the Lord will enable us to keep standing till the end, even though the devil is in control of this world. You say to me, Hot December year. Okay, he is overall. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Sometimes, when I look at people in the body of Christ, it seems that the whole world and a surprisingly large part of the Church of Jesus Christ also lies under the sway of the wicked one. And I say that to my chagrin. I say that to my embarrassment. Because I, like many others, are responsible to equip the saints for the ministry. So if I'm responsible for equipping the saints of the ministry, you can see that in Ephesians chapter 4, that's what the fivefold responsibility is. To equip the saints for the ministry. To equip you beautiful people to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. That's my responsibility. And if that's my responsibility, then how come so much of the church is under the sway of the wicked one? But moving right along, because I see you've somehow lost your joy about that now. But that's the reality of where we are at. That's the reality of where we are at. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's why Jesus knows that we need His joy fulfilled in us. So that while the devil is busy swaying and knocking everything and everything over and making a ruckus, those who have that inner joy, Jesus inside them, can stand. I don't know about you, but I want to be standing in the end. I don't want to be sucked up in the lies of the devil and a wave of worldliness. I want to be standing strong till the end. I want to be victorious till the end. That's why Jesus prays for His joy to be fulfilled. The next point, point number two, a godly lifestyle causes hatred from the world. So if you're unfamiliar with the culture of motorcycling, the culture of motorcycling is it's a band of brothers that believe in something called brotherhood, where we're there for each other, and I've got your back, and I've got your six, and there's a common interest, and your brotherhood is above all else, and you care for each other, and you look after each other, and you identify with each other by a particular patch or a color or whatever, and you have rules and regulations and standards and values and all sorts of things, and so. For decades in this country now, for 45 years, going on 45 years, we've been ministering to motorcyclists, their family, and friends. And over the years, the Christian Motorcyclists Association has been loved and liked by a lot of people. It's been looked up to by a lot of people as an organization. The people in CMA in general, not all, in general have become to be known as people that you can go to in a time of need. People that if you get to a day jol or a rally, you can leave your gear there. Your wallet is safe for them. Your helmet, your gear, it's safe. Leave it with them. If you will find it for you. Or you pass out and you're laying there in your vomit, they'll come and they'll clean you up and cover you. And lots of people have liked CMA over the years. And some have disliked CMA for various reasons, valid reasons, and sometimes unjustified. But I got to a point many years ago where I wondered, and hear my heart, church. If you're not a CMA member, that's fine, you'll understand. King Jesus wasn't liked by everybody wherever he went. He wasn't liked by everybody wherever he went. Sometimes, no matter what Jesus did, somebody had something bad and negative to say. When he was eating, he said, look, you're hanging out with the gluttons. When he was with a high society that could afford food. When he was with the slum, the beggars, the robbers, the murderers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, then they'd say, look, you're hanging out with the riffraff of society. No matter what he did, there was always somebody that had something bad to say about Jesus. Jesus never ministered in such a way that everybody liked him. So me as Mozzie, I started asking myself this question. This is just me as Mozzie. Is it possible that I'm not living enough like Jesus or preaching enough like him? That's why everybody likes me? Because surely if I preach the message of Jesus, somewhere along the line, some people are going to get offended and not going to like it. Okay? I see a lot of you are not liking this, but think about this, people. You see, if I come to Louis and all I tell Louis is, Louis, you're so good, your boots are always clean and shining, and you're just so smart, you know, you're hip to the jam, and you've got an amazing voice, like a whole Better Than Joe Cocker type of theme going there, mixed with a bit of Bob Dylan, and you know, you're anointed, and you can write a song in 3 minutes, and all I just tell Louis is the good. Louis is going to skim, I'm one of his best buddies ever. Yes, Mozzie's, it's like hanging around Mozzie. But it comes a time if Louis gets a bit miffed with someone, and he's harboring bitterness and unforgiveness, and I say, my bud, I see this is eating you up like cancer. It's the devil's going to get you. Can we pray together? And if Louis doesn't like that, where's the problem? Where's the problem? You see, Louis, they got a problem with you. Verstaan jy wat ek sê, Mella? Mensa. God hasn't called us as Christians to go and tell everybody how wonderful they are. If God tells you to do that, tell them they're wonderful. But if God lays on your heart to do like Jesus did, and the first words that he uttered when he started preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And as mense nie daarvan hou nie, dan het hulle die issue met God en nie met jou nie. Want jy het 'n mandaat en 'n boodskap van God, nie gehoorsaam wees aan wat hy vir jou sê en niks anders nie. And Jesus says this, Jesus, if you know what? Go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. Go where you're celebrated and not tolerated. You just think about that for a minute, okay? Enough of that, because I can feel myself getting angrier and I don't want to do that. So a godly lifestyle causes hatred from the world. John 17, verse 14 to 15, Jesus says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So the balance and perspective here is so beautiful. It's not like, ons moet so heilig wees, dat ons die wereld is maar daar, hulle is verloor in elk geval, laat hulle my hel toe gaan, en ek sien so ek gered, my naam is in die boek van die lewe, Halleluja. Nee, you saved, and you blessed, that you can go and be what? A blessing to others. How many of you are blessed? Raise your hands. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you are a blessing? Raise your hands. Ha, heel wat minder. Being blessed is the lowest form of Christianity. Being a blessing is the highest form of Christianity. You blessed to be a blessing. Nou, ek gaan dit in 'n ander taal sê. Jy is geseend om 'n seëning te wees. Jy is gebless om gebless te word. You've been given so that you can give. You've been given so that you can give. You've got the good news, now go and tell somebody. So just this week, I was riding once again, yay! So I caught up to these cyclists, and I thought, I'm going to get these out of the gospel, hier kom 'n ding. So the first ek, I says, hey, have you heard the good news? Hierdie opdraan is erg. Ek sê, ja, maar jy het die goeie nuus gehoor. Nee, wat? Jesus loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. You just got to see the reaction in people when they hear the name of Jesus. It affects people in different ways. So then I caught up to his riding partner. He says, hey, gaan praat met your buddy. Hy het goeie nuus om vir jou te vertel. You've been given so that you can give. Please go and make a difference. Please just go and make a difference out there. Somehow, somewhere, make a difference. Right. So not everybody that hears the word will rejoice in what you have to say. Okay, living out the godly lifestyle has consequences. And one of them is not being popular with the world. That's one of the consequences of living out a godly lifestyle. You're not popular with the world. There's certain parties and functions where you're just not going to be invited to. You're just not. Because, well, yes, jy's bietjie anders. Jy's bietjie weird. Jy weet, jy praat anders, jy dink anders. Jy lag nie eens vir ons grappe nie, jy lag vir ander tipe grappe. Daai grappe bedaarso is. Jy weet, jy lag vir daai grappe. You just someone not going to get invited. James 4, Jesus' stepbrother, and verse 4 says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Listen, folks, young people, take note. Excuse me. It wasn't me. The sound engineers you sent me, Lord, they did it. That was okay, Eleni. Some people are going to really be offended by that, but you just pray for me. Like I said, I need all your prayers. We become like the people we spend most of our time with. We become like the people we spend most of our time with. I'm going to say one more statement about the second point, and then I'm going to end. We didn't get to the third point. I've been preaching for half an hour, and we're done. So, No, there are lots of people that don't like the 2 minutes more. If I can't say it in 30 minutes, I can't say it in 3 hours. So, where was I? Yeah, we become like the people we spend most of our time with. Listen to this. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Some of you are thinking, I must get some new friends. Well, if that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, please go and be obedient. Please go and be obedient. So the next time we look at this, we're going to look at why God has sanctified us. Why has He sanctified us? If this prayer of Jesus is about sanctification, what does it mean to be sanctified? So to recap what we've touched on this morning, just to recap, is that God wants our joy fulfilled. The joy of Jesus fulfilled in our lives for a specific reason and a specific purpose. He knows to build the kingdom of God, it's going to be tough. It is tough. It is hard. But it's worth it in the end. And the second thing we looked at is that when you try and live the Jesus life, it's not going to mean you're popular. It's not going to mean you're liked. Church, we have a choice this morning. Do you want to be friends with the world? Hey, Mr. Popular is here. Mr. Cool Dude. Everybody likes him. He's the life of the party. Yay. You know, I got all the likes on social media. I'm like, my reputation precedes me. Or are you the one who's known to God in the quiet, still places of your prayer closet? Are you the one in Colossians 3:3 who says that your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus? Are you the one who has a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, where God says, who can dwell in the secret places of the Most High? He has a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Where are you most popular? Are you most popular in worldly circles? Or are you most popular in the realms and the halls of heaven? Where are you most popular? If you're here this morning, church, and you need some joy, there are some people in this church, you know who you are, I've said to you, you're like a shot of joy in my arm. You're like joy looking for a place to happen. You just get people like that. And then there's people, you're so concerned about asking them how you are. Because if you ask them how they're doing, but there's fortunately there's not people like that in this church. You know, people like that in other churches. For those of you here, and we're serious now, if you need some joy in your life, and I'm not talking about Christmas joy from a fruitcake that's laced with a bit of brandy or Now, I'm serious now. People make it, if that's your thing, then that's your thing. I'm not talking about the joy that you get from eating so much that you can't move, or I'm not talking about joy that the new present or whatever. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. The joy that when all hell's breaking loose around you, you know because you know because you know. Here dit maak nie sin nie. En ek verstaan nie nie heeltyd altemal nie, maar ek weet. Ek verstaan nie nie altyd nie. But I don't have to understand. I just know that you're God. You're God. You've got this. You've got me. How many of you need that kind of joy in your life this morning? Raise your hands. Right. The whole church, everyone, stand with me this morning. Ask the deep end to come up one more time. But you know what? They also need joy. Hulle kan ook daar sal staan. Asseblief. Everybody that needs joy in their life, we're all standing this morning. Let's apply this before we go home. And do whatever it is that brings you joy. You're standing there in a place and you just say, Lord, I learned this a while ago. As you just do business with God now, just settle your heart and quieten your spirit and just listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to us this morning, church. Chances are, if you always need something new, you've never had anything great. And if you see the emptiness of the next new thing and the next new thing and it just somehow doesn't bring you joy, then God is speaking to you this morning, as He has spoken to me, even now while I've been speaking. And you want this joy from the Lord. Only the Holy Spirit can give it to you. Right there as you're standing with God, just open your heart, open your spirit, your mind to whatever God wants to speak into your life. And Father, we seek your face together this morning as your sons and daughters. And we say, God, we want to build. We want to work with Jesus. Jesus, you promised that you would build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Here, dankie dat ons die voorreg het om saam met u te kan werk, skouer aan skouer. Ons dra nie, ons hoef nie die laste van die wêreld op ons skouers te dra, maar ons wil langs u staan, shoulder to shoulder, as you carry the weight of the world on yours. And Lord, for that we need joy. We need joy. Now you make it personal. You say, Lord, I stand here this morning, and God, I need joy. I need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come touch my mind. Change my mind. All that negativity, take it away. Cleanse my mind now. Now. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Cleanse my mind, Holy Spirit. Remind me of promises of your word, from your word, that will bring me joy unspeakable. And Lord, I need joy in my circumstances at home. Lord, the family life is difficult, Lord. The family relationships are edgy. They're under strain, Lord. There's tension in the air, Lord. Everybody's walking around on eggshells, Lord, afraid of hurting someone or saying something wrong or being accused or doing something wrong. Lord, I pray, I ask for that joy. Just bring a release of joy in my home, in my family life right now. In the name of Jesus. And I just sense the Spirit of God say, there's somebody here this morning, you know it's not in your immediate home, but there's another household in your family where you know that this is taking place. You pray that for them right now where you're standing, and you just speak the joy of Jesus over that family right now. You say, Lord, send your joy. Holy Spirit, bring the joy of Jesus, the joy of our salvation. What do we have to be joyous about in Jesus? The fact that He died. He gave His life for us. That He rose again from the grave and has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. That's the joy. And just pray the joy of salvation over that household now in the name of Jesus. There's people, yeah, there's such... The pressure at work is just immense. You're way past breaking point. Jy's stikkend, man. Jy's moeg verby. And you need the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Right there where you are, just pray, Lord, send that joy. Send that joy. Holy Spirit, send that joy. In the book of Acts chapter 3, it speaks about times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. I speak the presence of God over your situation, my brother, my sister. Whatever difficulty you're facing, I speak the presence of God over your situation in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak the peace of Jesus into your life. The joy of Jesus in His presence, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.